everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'm here to welcome you to the Retail Online Integration webinar, How Your Customers Fall in Love with Self-Service, sponsored by NanoRep. Customers today want a breadth of communication channels for customer service, but across all demographics, self-service channels are becoming the choices du jour. Indeed, the self-service revolution is helping to shape a new realm of customer service, one in which the role of the company becomes minimal and the customer is in the driver's seat when it comes to enjoying a satisfactory customer experience. In this webinar, our speakers, John Lawson, CEO of Colder Ice Media and author of the recently published book called Kick-Ass Social Commerce, and Mark Dawson, the Customer Experience Administrator at Thomas Cook, will map out the current self-service revolution, what it means for retailers, and how to make customers fall in love with it and use it. Attendees today will learn how to create great customer service experiences on their website, what not to do when implementing a self-service model, how a large travel company found success with the self-service model, and so much more. Before we get started, let me point out, give you a few quick tips about how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. You can send them in at any time, although we'll be answering them at the end. Please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can use all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. And also, click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Okay, with that, I'm going to pass it on to John from Colder Ice Media. Take it away, John.
Thanks, Melissa. All right, guys. I'm going to talk to you about creating an awesome and amazing experience for your customers using CSS, and that's not the old school CSS for programmers. That's really customer self-support or self-service. So what is CSS? Like I said, it's customer self-service. It's also been known as e-support. We're getting into some new areas with customer self-service and social media. So it could be that social support that you're seeing, all those kinds of things. But it's really allowing customers today to get access to good information and perform the routine tasks that might have been done by a customer support team. Why is self-service so important? That picture you see right now on your screen, that is when I was just at the airport over the Christmas season at the Delta check-in. I mean, you don't really think about how it has changed the way we do everything. Now, you don't really have to go up to the counter. You go to a customer self-service booth. It prints out your tickets and your luggage tags and all that kind of good stuff, and you just take that over to the agent and she puts it on the belt for you. That's about all she's good for anymore. So what is going on now is that 91% of customers said they would use self-service if it was available, and 72% of those people said that if it was fast, that it is a fast and easy way to get the solutions that they needed. 45% of customers abandon online purchases in the shopping cart or on your site if they can't find the information that they're looking for in a quick manner. Our ability to keep and capture the attention span of the consumer is dwindling every day. There is always something taking that attention away. And if they're not able to get the information they need when they need it, then they will abandon that purchasing process. So for those of us in e-commerce, that's so important. And that's why we're seeing some of these abandoned cart rates. You know, a lot of times we think about the abandoned cart and the first thing we start going for is maybe it's the picture that they don't like or the price is too high. But also it could be that the information that they need to make an informed decision, because we live in an industry or an industry in a time in this industry where the informed consumer is able to get the information they need from everywhere. And if it's not with your product on your site, oftentimes they will abandon that site, go somewhere else, find the information they need, and then just go ahead and purchased from that location as opposed to coming back. So that is adding to our abandonment rates for shopping carts. All right, like I've talked about, today is the I want it now generation. I mean, everybody needs information right now at this moment. We're becoming less and less tolerant of long service lines and having to wait to find the information that we want. But also, we need to be kept engaged. I mean, it's something that I have to be stimulated almost constantly because of just the way our environment is. We're in a world of bells and whistles now. I mean, I just came back from the gym, and it's amazing. You're on the treadmill, and how many people are on their phone, you know, at the gym. And then you're listening, and you hear the whistle of somebody getting a text notification or the chirp of a tweet. Everybody wants to be kept engaged all the time. And, of course, nobody likes to stand in line. We're in a world of no lines and no worry and no waiting. So it's the I want it now kind of generation. And surveys have shown that both Generation X, Y, and even Z are preferring online customer service to telephone service. And if you doubt that, all you have to do is talk to your kids. And I guarantee you they hate when you ring their phone. They would much rather you text them. I personally, here I am a Gen Y, you know, or am I a Gen X? I don't know. I'm one of those generations. But I prefer people to text me than to call me now. I've gotten to that point where texting is actually a better way to communicate. And, you know, same with people online. They don't want to have to pick up a phone. It's not enough for you today to have a 1-800 number. I know that was like the golden ticket back in, you know, just really 10 years ago, a decade ago. You know, every site had to have an 800 number. But today, having just an 800 number is not enough. It's not going to cut it. And the reason why it's not going to cut it is because of this lady. It's all her fault. She did this. She made all of this happen. Who is that lady? She is the voice that comes out of your iPhone. That's the voice of Siri. So you have to really think. We've moved from the microwave society, and microwave, look, I could wait 8 minutes for my popcorn to pop. Now we're into the Siri world, and I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to print out my directions to get to where I'm going. I want turn-by-turn direction on the street corner at the stoplight when I'm there. That's the society we are into now, thanks to technology. So as it boils all the way down to what we're trying to do in customer support, there are a lot of different approaches that have been enhanced and presented to us and our consumers over the years. Of course, you've got knowledge-based FAQs, which are pretty static, and we're going to deep, you know, dive into each one of these. We got social Q&A, which I just talked about. We're going to talk about that again. Virtual agents, customer forums, user communities, and live chat window. So let's take a quick look at the knowledge-based FAQs. Really, when it comes to this solution, it worked really great when we had those static web pages, when our web pages were very, you know, brochure-like. You know, one of the clicks of the links would be, here, go to our FAQs, and we would have, you know, 5 to 7 different FAQs or FAQ, you know, hierarchies, and then we'd have different questions in it. So we'd have like the shipping hierarchy, and then we'd have where's my package, how long does it take, how much does it cost based on it, and we would have those FAQs. The problem was, or it still is, if you're using that, is that the usability is a little bit hard to navigate because I'm sitting there with all this text, and I've got to go through and find the actual question that I wanted to answer. Of course, the same way that it's kind of frustrating on the customer end, it's a little bit frustrating on the management side because change maintenance is pretty time-consuming when you have to go through all of these lines of text. to find the answer that you need to update, making sure it's updated on multiple questions in that FAQ, things like that. It doesn't have the ability to deliver some of the expected outcomes that we want because it's very static. And to be honest, it's a little old school. I mean, if you're still, you know, counting on that FAQ kind of thing, it does feel a little bit, 1998. Well, I mean, let's be real. They've probably been out since way before that. So, I mean, it does serve its purpose, but there are some challenges with it. Let's go into social. I mean, social is really cool. It's a low barrier to entry. It's everybody can get on social media and probably should have some sort of customer support activities inside of social. There's a lot of risk, of course, with social media, and one of the biggest risks is that it's not an isolated conversation. So one of the things that I tell people is if you're doing that customer service and you're in a social environment, the one thing you want to try to do is, as quickly as possible, move that public conversation into a private conversation. You know, if it's on Twitter, don't go back and forth too long. Really just give them a way to contact you directly, either via direct messaging or send me an email right now or something like that. Get on the horn with them so that you can take that conversation and isolate it from the public conversation. The one thing about social, of course, is it's got multiple platforms that you do have to monitor because you have to be on Twitter. If you're going to be on Twitter, then people think you're going to be on Facebook too. So, you know, LinkedIn too. Here, there's all these channels coming in, and it's sometimes a pain to manage that in the, you know, realm of all of these different channels. And all of these different channels have different expectations and different customer interaction. And of course, on Twitter, for me, I mean, it's only 140 characters, and sometimes you can lose the context of what the people are saying, either coming in or the way you respond back can get lost because you're truncating everything in such a small number of characters. Let's look at virtual agents. I like this one. If you get a second, you can read what the Coca-Cola virtual agent says. But, I mean, virtual agents have been around for the last few years, and it's definitely shown a lot of reduction in call volume for support industries and mom and pops. I mean, if you don't have the ability to go out with big teams, that virtual agent really does take FAQs a step up. But often it is still kind of an FAQ knowledge base, and that content sometimes can be very generalized and not as specific to, let's say, a product. If I'm asking a specific question about a specific product on a specific page, oftentimes our knowledge base is very general, trying to cover the aspects of all of our products or a tower of our category. And of course, conversations sometimes can get awkward and confusing because I'm asking a very direct question and I'm getting some sort of virtual generalized answer. And if I go back and want specifics on that generalized answer, I don't really get that because everything that the agent has been set up to do kind of gets lost in the sauce for a really weird conversation. I mean, you've been in that kind of conversation with those virtual agents before, I'm sure. Let's look at customer forums and communities. I really believe that most customers like a user community, or many customers like a user community. Many hate it. Many don't use it. But I think for those that have a product where it makes sense, building a relationship with your customers inside of a community or a forum is a great way to help extend the brand and extend the experience to your customers, and it really helps to build that relationship with potential customers and past customers. Of course, having a forum with nobody there, that's a desert, it really does decrease the value of that form, and it kind of almost, you know, makes it look like nobody's really shopping with you if you have a customer form and there's no customers there. I love the fact that it's, when it's active, it's very active, and lots of information does get shared, but you have to be sure to watch and monitor, because some of that information that gets shared from customer to customer and peer to peer can be wrong, and you have to be there to manage and push people to the right information, because sometimes we give the wrong information to each other, and the organization needs to be there and have a presence there to keep everything in the right lane. Live chat windows are fantastic. I don't think there's anything greater than a actual human to human when it comes to a relationship. Right now, I know we got movies about relating to computers, but I don't relate to a computer the same way that I relate to a human, and it's a good relationship builder for your brand when you have those kind of, you know, human to human engagements. It does require management, and it requires management on a regular schedule. Personally, I hate to see a live chat closed. It's like take it off the page if it's not open for me, because it's like, you know, I don't really want to see live chat not available right now, because I'm on your site right now. I'm ready to buy right now. I need the information right now. And of course, having those live chat windows do help, you know, because you can put that, you know, I'm out of the office sign up, or have my office hours up. But I'm one of those people, I buy most of my stuff at 2 a.m. on East Coast time. You know, that's when I'm chilling and actually browsing around the internet. And it would be nice to have somebody to talk to at that time if that's a service for live chat that you offer. Of course, there are still those little time trolls that are out there on the web. And what I mean by that are people that will suck all of your time. They will come to your site with your live chat agent and ask all the questions they have, and then go to your competitor's site and buy the product because it's, you know, 50 cents cheaper. I understand that. So there are some risks that you have with offering that kind of a service as well. But overall, when we take it all into account, customers really do want a quick and reliable customer service response. And what makes it really good for a customer, if you look at this chart, 69% of them say that they want their problem resolved quickly. So they want that, what they're doing, to be resolved in a very fast manner, but they also want somebody on the other line, or the other end of the line, to be a nice person. And they want the right information. That's more important than anything. It's great to be fast with your answer, but if it's the wrong answer, it sets the wrong precedence for your customers. Okay. We're in this age now. Mobile is really changing everything. So when we talk about, you know, some of the old school ways of doing things, even the live chat window, a lot of them don't work in the mobile environment. And mobile is making us rethink everything, because when you realize that 1 in 3 visitors that come to your site now are coming from a tablet or a smartphone, it's starting to make us rethink everything that we're doing. And customer self-service really is happening when the person, or needs to happen when the person, is on the site. I need to know that information. If I'm looking for something on my phone and on the go, that's when I need the information. I don't have time to wait till I get home, till I turn on this big old PC or pull out my laptop and plug it in. I'm not going to wait that long. I want that information when I want that information. And mobile is changing the game for us. And if you just look at the jump from last year's Black Friday, the traffic for mobile jumped 89.4% over the year before. And I think it's going to jump as big or even bigger this year. I mean, mobile is taking over, and it's really starting to change the way we think about all aspects of our business. So what are the benefits of having some good unassisted support? Of course, we talked about efficiencies, but it increases the customer confidence in your brand. It is there when you are not doing what you are not able to do or not at the point of time, I'm not going to say willing to do, but, you know, you're really not there. You can't do it all the time. So it helps to increase that customer confidence. It allows you to take instances and things that have happened in the past and repurpose those answers so that you can use that for going forward, and not just going forward for unassisted support, but also going forward for actual person-to-person assisted support. Because as we get interactions with our customers that seem to be going over and over again or seem to repeat, we can take those things and put them into processes so that our customer support people can grab that process and then reuse that information. And of course, it helps to bring back repeat business when they know they're getting good service. So here's a couple of best practices for you, or just a few for you. Keep knowledge bases, no matter if it's FAQs, the unassisted support, whatever it is, you got to keep your knowledge base current and fresh. The content needs to be up to date at all times. It has to be easy to navigate for the user, and it really needs to remove all of that kind of friction. Content that is old and stale needs to be deleted. It's out there. It needs to be removed from that KB, that knowledge base. Think about using some of the best of the breed technologies, because as we move forward and we deal with newer technologies in the mobile space, you also want to have best of breed technology in your support space. Create an escalation process. I don't want to go round and round with your virtual agent or inside of your knowledge base, not able to ever be able to escalate out of, you know how this goes, guys. You know, you've been on the phone where they tell you to press 1, 2, 3, or 4. You press 0, and they still tell you to press 1, 2, 3, and 4. You keep trying to get to an operator, and you never get to one. That don't have that same kind of process inside of your customer support. Have an escalation process where if they need to speak to a human, they can get to it. And focus in on great customer service. More than anything, I believe customer service brings people back. Customer service is the differentiator that people are looking for today. The reason why Amazon is number one in e-commerce really is not because they're the lowest price. It's not because they have the best pictures. It's not even because they have fast shipping. Honestly, all of that really relates to good customer support and good customer service. And that's what you and I should be looking to do. A couple of more that I do have here just to round off my best practices. Like I said before, you know, removing the friction points. Make that pain go away for customers when they're looking for information. It shouldn't be painful for me to find that information. It shouldn't be painful for me to look for that information. It almost should be, you know, part of that same engagement environment that I'm doing when I'm shopping. Use social cues to proactively engage with customers. So you're monitoring the social space. Make sure that when you see people having an issue or asking questions that are relative to your niche, to your products, be proactive and go out there and grab the opportunity to engage with them, because good customer service is good marketing. And, of course, do not ignore the customers that need, do not ignore the customers' need for information. I mean, you know they need it. Don't ignore it. Don't say we're going to get to that later after we do all these other things. Because that customer support is going to be the differentiator for your business. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up and pass it off. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks so much, John, as usual. Some great real-world kind of points and great takeaways that I'm sure all of us will definitely sort of pin on our refrigerator door. So let's see. We're going to move on now to the second part of our presentation, which involves a case study. which kind of goes over a lot of the self-service best practices that John just talked about. So let me introduce you to Mark Dawson from the Thomas Cook Group, and he's going to talk about how NanoRep helped its company because of its self-service tools. Take it away, Mark.
Hey, thanks very much. Thanks, John, for your presentation. You know, a lot of people should really be looking at the best practices that you went over. Through my experience with, you know, even my own company, there's a lot of things that we do miss out, and that doesn't really help the customer. But yeah, let me introduce myself. My name is Mark Dawson. I'm the customer experience admin at Thomas Cook. Basically, what that involves is I look after all the customer-facing software, such as FAQs, live chat forms, and surveys. So, like many of you know, there's a lot of different companies out there offering different solutions, you know, different levels of support and so forth. But one of the companies that we've had really good success with is NanoRep. That's one of our sort of biggest success stories we've had over the last few years. Not only have we, you know, found a good supplier to move to, we've also increased customer satisfaction and also drove down costs by delivering a more effective self-service tool on our websites. NanoRep have managed to deliver the most fluid natural language search engine I've personally seen. And on top of that, they're just generally a really good team of people to work with. They can help you deploy onto any website really as quick as your development team can do. So, it's really good. So, about Thomas Cook, we're a global travel company based in the UK. We were founded in 1841 by Mr. Thomas Cook himself. We had over 9 billion in sales last year in 2013, more than 20 million customers who sent on holiday last year. We have 27,000 employees in 17 countries. So there's a lot of customers that we need to reach out to, help before they've booked, after they've booked. And even when they've returned back from holiday, we need more help. So it's always good to have an effective customer service tool. So our promise to our customers is we always want to engage, understand, personalize, and get a result. And that's one of our sort of values that we have. We always want to help our customers, and that's, you know, one of the really effective tools that we use is an FAQ system and chat and so forth. We can tailor our customer service pages to what we're offering our customers. And the NanoRep allows us to do that. Internally, our values are succeed as a team, deliver for our customers, engage each other, life results and act with integrity. So the challenges that we're currently having, this is for a group, is we have over 120,000 total monthly inquiries. So what we're trying to do with that is provide timely responses, maintain a high quality service. And this is by voice, email and chat across all our markets. Costs are always increasing, so we're always looking at sending customers to our most effective channel to customers to self-serve. And that ultimately is a self-service support page. One of my colleagues used to always say to me that the best service is no service. The customers always have the information they have online, you know. So the customer shouldn't need to contact us all the time. We should be providing an effective self-service tool online for customers to browse before they book, after they've booked, or once they've returned from their holiday, without ever having to pick up a phone or send us an email. They should always have everything at their fingertips. So the solution and implementation. So we've used numerous self-service tools over the last 8 years. Like anybody else, you know, we've bounced around, we've looked at other companies. Some companies offer, you know, more things than others. You know, we went from small startup companies to full-blown enterprise corporations. But nothing has been comparable with the service we have delivered to our customers by using NanoRep as a supplier. We've actually managed to do so much more with NanoRep in the short period of time we've used them compared to very large other companies where we've paid substantially more for the services. NanoRep has been one of the easiest solutions we've actually deployed, and it shows because we've deployed it on at least 15 websites now. Instead of being tied to a supplier who forces you to use one of the hosted pages, NanoRep allows you the ability to drop hosted script very easily anywhere on your site. This means customers are not leaving your site to a third-party support page. You know, customers, when they have too many pages, you know, they leave, they come back, you know, three pages deep, you start dropping conversions. So it's always good to have something like NanoRep where they give you a script. You can deploy it anywhere on your page, so it doesn't even need to be a support page. It could be on your booking journey, your shopping cart, the checkout page, even your confirmation page. So, what they're offering is very good. Now, the software only takes about 5 minutes to actually create a script. You send it to a deployment team, and you can have it on any page you want anywhere. So it's very quick and easy to do. Like I said, we do have it on a lot of different websites. We have 16 different knowledge bases at the moment, and we have basically two admin logins, two consoles to log in and control all of this. So from the admin point of view, it's very easy to control. I am the only person that actually admins all of the sites. We do have one sort of content person per website that we have, but from a content point of view, it's very easy to operate, maintain. There's also seamless forwarding to cost-effective channels such as email and chat. They do have their own email ticketing system, and they also have a chat escalation in there as well. So they do have live person integration out of the box, but you can actually tailor that to any chat solution that you're already using. So where have we deployed NanoRep? Well, we've actually deployed it in the UK, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, and France. So you can see there, you know, we have it split over 5 different markets, 13 different customer-facing websites, and it's in 5 different languages. Now, I'm the only person that actually runs this from an admin point of view. So you can see how easy it is for sort of one person all the time running this for an entire business. You don't need teams of people like you did, you know, 5 years ago to look after content, to make sure that the software is running correctly, you know. It's very easy just to set up, deploy, and then it runs itself. Now, since deploying NanoRep on our website, we've actually seen contacts by voice, chat, and email drop by between 10 and 20% per market. Now, there's not, you know, you couldn't deploy anything else that would give you that amount of gain. You know, you could try, including your chats or your email services. But the main thing that you really want to build is a good support page and a good support software on that page. Year on year, like everybody, online traffic is increasing. You know, but we've not had any significant increases in contact by voice or by email because we're always consistently tailoring our support pages, always making sure that the answers are up to date, placing different widgets throughout the website depending on where we're getting feedback from our analytics, which is provided in the solution. So it's a no-brainer, really, to have a good self-serve solution on your website because nowadays everybody is trying to cut costs. As well as using NanoRep for customer-facing sites, we actually also use it for internal sites. There's not a lot of, you know, people don't really think of using a mainstream solution like this for internal. But in the UK, we have a very large retail network, and we have about 700 stores. So these 700 stores need supported from a daily basis on updated procedures and processes on how to make bookings, how to amend bookings, how to cancel and so forth, as well as special offers. We also offer it for third parties as well. Third-party agents who are selling our product log into an internal site with NanoRep as the solution, and they can find all their answers. Now, that also helps our customers who, you know, they're not booking online, but they're booking in a store. So if the store agents can find the information quicker, and it makes all our customers happy all round. So the first site, I'm just going to quickly show you one of our sites, is Promisebook German site. You probably can see that, right? On this page here, you can see we actually have three different widgets deployed on this. At the top of the page, you can see the standard NanoRep search panel. And all you do is you just type in that, any question you want, and it'll actually come back with a list of questions that it deems appropriate. Now, like I said, it's a natural language search engine. It's not keyword driven. You probably all know, when you're testing your own search engines, you just put a keyword in. The customers don't search for keywords, they search for phrases and sentences. The NanoRep actually display questions around the sentences customers are asking. And it works fantastic. Like I said, it's the best one I've seen to date. So it works very well. Below that, we have top questions. I can't speak German, so I can't really explain it to you. But that's the top questions that we have. You can see that we also have a green thumbs up. So if customers find that helpful, they can actually thumbs it up and it gets a good rating. Now that section there, that refreshes on a weekly basis based on what customers are viewing and the search panel above it. So we're always pushing the most up-to-date and relevant information to customers refreshed on a weekly basis. You know, that in turn means that we need to have less admin maintenance on that because the system is doing it for us. On the left-hand side of the page, you can see the orange box I've taken a screenshot. That's another widget that you can deploy on your site. Now, again, this is a customer service page. You could have this on your booking journey. So on your booking journey, you can have this widget on the side of your page. When you click on it, it's a search panel. So you can type in there, how much is this, or any question you want, and it'll bring back search results based on what you are. So you can have that deployed anywhere on your site, but it doesn't need to be custom service related. So the next thing I'm going to quickly show you, which is probably one of our best success stories, is Promisebook BE. Now personally, this is my favourite site by far. On this page here again, you can see the NanoRep search panel at the top of the page. Below it, you can see we have top five, and that again refreshes on a weekly basis. So a customer searching will automatically push them up on a weekly basis. But below that, we have four different boxes. The two of them boxes are NanoRep, and two of them are our own static content. And that's what I'm saying. The good thing with NanoRep is you can tailor this, you can talk to any page, and this page here is a seamless design. You don't know where NanoRep starts and where our web page starts, and it looks perfect. And that's something that you could have on any page on your website. Again, it doesn't necessarily need to be a support page. The next page I'm going to show you is promisebook.com, which is our main site. It's probably where I spend most of my time. We're always changing this. Every 6 months, we always review our support pages based on the stats that we gather from NanoRep. So if customers are searching for different things, we'll actually change the get help with boxes. So if customers are searching for a different subject, we'll get our designers to change the page around. And that's all by stats driven by NanoRep self-service. On this page, probably not my favorite page compared to the Promisebook Belgium page, but it works and that's what the customers like. And probably the same with your businesses if you're global. Different markets react to different pages and different things, and you have to work out how to deploy it and how to use it correctly in different markets. You can see on here we have the standard search panel, and below it we have two different widgets. You can see the chat icon there as well. If you click on chat, it will escalate to a chat on our third-party supplier. You don't have to escalate it to anything if you don't want. You can escalate it to email, or you can escalate it to chat. Chat is probably most cost-effective before voice or email, so it's something that I would highly recommend to any business. So below that, you have two fields, one general questions and one airline questions. Now, unlike the other pages, this page doesn't refresh. There's more manual intervention on this page. I actually choose what messages to push out to this page. And I use the stats that's provided by customer search in so I can tailor them myself. We also put in things in there which could be relatively important to customers' holidays. So, if, you know, we know that there's a ticket issue, for instance, at the moment where maybe tickets are not being sent to customers. I may stick it in that box there and I'll force it in there without it refreshing and it's live. One of the major things that we really like NanoWrite for is you can change content there and then and it's updated immediately. We don't need to ask the development team to push content out to the site. We don't need to sit in a queue for developers, you know, I've got this job, this, and you're in this situation. We have the travel update section. And whenever there's sort of major incidents or if there's any visa changes or any advice, for instance, we've got in there the Turkey visa changes. If you're traveling to Turkey, you have to pay a certain amount of money. So we have that. So if customers land on this page, they can be told straight away. In Egypt, everybody's probably seen the news. There's always, you know, ongoing violence in Egypt at the moment. So we have Egypt information in there. And if there's no information to display, then we have nothing up there. So we can choose what to display and when. That's one of the key things that, you know, is really good, especially because it's widget driven. And again, like I said, you could have widgets throughout your website anywhere, your payment page, your basket, confirmation page. And you can display any information you'd like. If you change that on a daily basis, you can do that. A weekly basis or not at all. It's entirely up to yourself. So our results. Well, NanoWrite provides us with over 120,000 answers per month across all our sites. Now the good thing, and it's something that John touched on, your answers are always there. It's 100% coverage. You know, when you're shut, customers are still on your website. They're still looking for answers. They're still looking for help. This is where it pays to have a good FAQ system. Not static pages, not anything that you need developers. Something that's there all the time and you're collecting stats constantly on it. Which means you can always, always improve on it. No, customers no longer want to wait for phone agents or email replies or even chat. At 2 o'clock in the morning, like John says, or 3 or 4, people will come to your site, maybe look for answers. And if your site doesn't have a good FAQ platform, then they're going to phone you in the morning. But if you do, and you can provide the answers during the night, nobody will contact you. And therefore, it's reducing cost for you, as well as increasing customer satisfaction. Like I said, we have a 20% deflection of all incoming inquiries. That's massive. That is, you know, any company, a 20% deflection in all incoming traffic. You know, that's customer satisfaction. Customers are self-serving, as well as a drastic reduction in cost for staff. Agents also deal with less inquiries because customers are finding with more information online. We've also noticed that the average time that we are chatting to customers on chat and by voice has reduced by 10%. Customers are finding their answers online more, which means when they do have to phone you, they're not asking you as many questions. Your contact time with the customer is shorter, which means you can deal with more customers during the day. NanoWrite is extremely scalable as well. We're able to grow easily and adjust for seasonal peaks. The fall lower from the fact that we're only using one solution across all markets, we actually see a significant cost saving just by using NanoWrite. Now, we also see a higher conversion and engagement on this. Customers are more likely to come to our self-service pages because they have details on booking terms and conditions, booking information, and so forth. The customers are more likely to make a booking with you if they can find the relevant information when they want rather than when you want. It's also search engine friendly. So something NanoWrite have just recently brought out, a new search engine friendly portal. So we can now have full coverage on the search engine. You know, everybody knows how Google is, how powerful Google is. It's my go-to thing now. I always go to Google for anything. So it's the same for your business. You know, customers will type in, what is my luggage line for Tom's Cook, rather than coming to our website straight away. So having a full search engine friendly portal is, you know, key for business nowadays. We can better understand our customers as well. There's a full analytics suite that NanoRec provides, so we can see how many customers were on that page, how many customers were using your widget. You can filter it by us, so you can see when busy periods are during the day. You can also see unanswered questions. So if I go to our website and type in, what is the weather today, and I don't get an answer, I actually can report on that and create an answer around what is the weather today. You can also see what's being answered as well. So if I typed in, what is the weather today, check the reporting, I could see that, well, actually, that's not tying up with the correct answer NanoRec is providing. So I can then build a correct answer for that. The analytics is very, very strong. It's something that most people should be looking at every day, really. And like I said, if you have static pages, it's something you're missing out on because you don't see what customers are wanting from your business. So my final thoughts on this. If someone had asked me 5 years ago, we would have had a global solution, one supplier. I probably would have laughed at them because there was no real reason to do it back then. However, we brought NanoRec on board in the UK market, and it quickly spread to every other market in our business because more teams could see the benefits of this software over what they were currently using. And like I said, we've used every major company out of there in every different market, and NanoRec has provided us the most fluid transition, the easiest deployment as well across all the markets. We've also recently launched full SEO support page as well, which is, you know, that really reinforces the reason why we're using NanoRec as our single supplier. And that's everything. Thank you very much for listening.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. That was a really great case study with a lot of detailed information, which is always good. We do have a few questions that came in during the presentation, but I want to, you know, encourage everyone to please send in your questions. We still have about 10 minutes, so we're right on time, but we'd love some more questions. So anyway, several folks were talking about the international side of your business, Mark. So I guess I'm just going to combine this into one question. Are there any other international markets that you're interested in going into, such as the Polish market? And then also, do you use an automated translation service as part of your country websites?
No, so we don't use an automated translation service. What we do is, and it's something maybe, you know, the businesses here could maybe take on board. I look after the software so well. I work with the developers to deploy it, to look after the day-to-day maintenance. But what we actually do is we have typically one person in every market which might only spend, you know, maybe a couple of hours every week looking at the analytics and updating any questions or answers on there. So it's all done locally in the local markets rather than a translation work.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to launch it in any other markets? It's something that we're looking to do. We've lost a bit of traction recently on rolling it out into different markets due to different restructures within the business. It's something that I'm still trying to push, but at the moment, where it's deployed now is really where it's deployed at the moment for the foreseeable future. I hope that answers that.
Great. So let's see. Does the you mentioned earlier SEO, so I was just wondering if how the search function or the chat function or NanoRec itself, how does that influence your SEO? I guess I just never thought about the customer service SEO connection.
Yeah, so I'll just touch on the language as well. NanoRec do offer, they do support real-time translation. We just choose not to use it at the moment. So it's something that we're looking for. You're always learning something new with it. So in the SEO, we've actually just started using the SEO part of NanoRec because it's something that just recently released. So I don't really have any findings on it yet, but from what I've been working with the NanoRec team with, it's something that will be very powerful, and there'll be no reason but not to be as powerful as a static landing page for your SEO purposes.
Great. I think that answers the question. These are questions about the actual tool, the NanoRep tool. So let me just ask you them in order. One is, do the top FAQs update automatically? And how does the escalation to chat work?
So the top FAQs do update automatically, depending on how you set up your widgets. You can change how often they update. So if you want your top FAQs to update monthly, then they'll do that. If you want it weekly, then you can do that. It's up to how you do it. But depending on, it's really up to you, really. You have full control over what you're doing. So it works very well. You know, if customers are always searching for the same things, the top FAQs will always display them to help, you know, the customers find that information quicker, depending if you want to use it like that. And how does the escalation to chat work? So there is a live person integration that's sort of out of the box with it, where you can ask a question, and then if you deem that it's not sort of not answered your question, you can actually click on the chat button. What then happens is that is the chat will then appear within the box if you've got the floating side widget, or you can have it any way you want. You can have it appear like the traditional pop-up box in the middle of the page. It's real up to you. What you can then do with that is you can actually check your stats to see how many chats have escalated, and it will actually pinpoint down to the specific FAQ. So you can then work it. Well, that FAQ clearly isn't working right, but people are still escalating to chat. So you can use your analytics to fix it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm going to bring John into this a little bit. We have about, you know, we'd love to get his perspective on some of these questions. So, John, given that you had mentioned that the things that customers want the most in terms of customer service is that a problem is being solved quickly. So this is kind of like a philosophical question, I guess. I mean, how do you balance, you know, fixing something or fixing a problem fully versus timely response? You know, do you let the customer know that the issue is being investigated? Is that the best way to do it? Or do you wait until you have it solved? Or what's your take on that?
You know what? The one thing is people and customers like to know that you get it. So you really do set the expectation. Even if you can't solve the issue immediately, the fact that you tell them, I've taken that, we are handling it, and we'll get back to you, you know, later this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, whenever that is, you set the expectation. And every time you go back and touch that customer and communicate with that customer, you have the opportunity to reset that expectation. And you really do control that connection if you take the initiative and you let the customer know where we are in the cycle. If you don't talk to them, they start getting nervous. They start, you know, getting a little bit agitated. I mean, they want to know that somebody hears them, somebody hears them now. And even if you don't have the answer, just the fact that you're empathetic to their issue goes a long way.
Great. Let's see. We also have got a few questions prior to this webinar about sort of best practices. You did cover some, but these are some others. What is the most important thing to get people to order on your website rather than to call or email?
What is the most important thing? Let's just look at it. Removing the friction, because if it's too hard, I'm not going to do it. If it's easier for me to dial the phone number, then a lot of times that's what I will do. So if you have it right there in front of me and it's very easy to navigate, I'll always take that option first. It's just the same way. I remember when the kiosk came to the airport, you know, there is a learning curve because people feel that there's going to be some kind of friction in me getting to the the answer that I need. If I just need my luggage tag, how many screens do I have to go to get to that? The more you can reduce that process, the faster you can get people through it, and the more comfortable they're going to be with using that going on, you know, forward.
Yep. Great. That's very true. It's all about psychological stuff, I think, mm-hmm. when it comes to customer service. So another person, John, had a question about some of the sources for the statistics. So I'm pretty sure you had everything sourced. So everybody that is going to get this presentation, they'll be able to see the stats, correct?
Yeah, we can send them all the Forrester and the Zendesk and what's another one I'm looking at here? Parature. I mean, there's been a lot of studies on customer self-support, and I will definitely make that available to you guys.
Okay, cool. Let's see. We only have a couple more minutes here. This question is for back to the case study to Mark. Do you use geolocate or an IP customer address to make offers or answer questions, or do you do it through NanoRep?
It's through NanoRep.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do geolocate or IP.
Okay. Go back. Okay. Let me go back to John. Can you talk a little bit about video with customer service? Is videos an important part of it? Is it something that I know that there was a time when there was like the sort of movable person on the screen. I don't know if that's still hot or how are people using videos?
moving person on screen, always hated it. That was just something for me. I always hated it. I hate things that play on automatically. That's just me. I get it. It's better conversion and all that kind of stuff on your sales page. But on your frequently asked questions or when I land to your website, that's not something I really want. I've always talked about this story, and I just happened to go back, you know, out to one of the videos that we did, and I'll just give a quick synopsis, is that we used to sell, and I don't sell these anymore, I used to sell bandanas. And people would always ask me how to fold a bandana because they wanted to look like their favorite rap star because I used to sell a lot of hip-hop stuff. And I got that question so much that I ended up recording a video. And it was really a very bad recording. Somebody recently just put on there that one of their video games has better resolution than my stupid video. I think that's funny because I made it 7 years ago. But the thing is that I answered their question very succinctly and gave them a demonstration on how to use it. Okay? How to fold a bandana? I showed them exactly how to do it 4 different ways. That one video has today over 300,000 views. It's been shared all over the place. Not only that, our competitors have used it and embedded it inside of their own web pages. Even though it's branded with our stuff, it says buy our stuff and got our website in it, you know, it was so succinct that it was answering their customers' questions, but it's driving traffic to our business. And the thing is, video is a very powerful tool when used correctly. When it's used to answer a question and get people over that hump and show people how they can use and implement that product that they have bought and answer mm-hmm. those kind of questions, it's a fantastic medium, you know?
Yep.
And it only gets better and better as we get to the point. But, of course, we do understand as well that it does take time to do those kind of videos. So, but don't get it wrong. People want the information more than anything. It doesn't have to be slick. The most shared videos are rarely the best produced videos.
Yep. Yep, true. Okay. Well, I guess with that, we are basically out of time. So any other questions that were not answered, there's a couple, we'll make sure you get those answered, everybody. So it looks like we're out of time, as I said, for today. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and NanoRep, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. I also want to thank our wonderful speakers. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. So I hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Thanks, everybody.